Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Thanks for being here with us on this Friday afternoon. We've got a really good Friday afternoon show for you. Second hour, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who you know from all the EWTN news outlets and Al Cresta, and you hear Dr. Matthew Bunsen all the time, and he's over in Rome. We'll talk to him a little bit about the Synod, I'm sure. We'll talk to him about the new writings from Pope Francis, but it's the Church in the News, so you can ask him whatever you want about the Church in the News to wrap up the week here. But before we get to that, we've got Rose Sweet here with us. Rose, of course, rosesweet.com is where you can go to find out about what she does. She's a life coach. She's an author. She's someone who helps people with divorce and annulment and all of that stuff. And we're just always super happy when Rose is here. Hello, Rose. Thanks for coming.
I'm super happy to be here, too. But I hear you're still getting over your Australian trip. And you said to me today, right now, if you fall asleep during the show, just take over.
Yeah, you need to take over if
okay.
I fall asleep. Yes.
Okay, I will.
Check my pulse, just see if I need CPR. But I cannot get my body back on the clock in America. I think my soul is like, you should just live in Australia, go back to Australia. So, I can't get on America time. I'm a mess, Rose.
I know. It's tough, isn't it?
Life is messy, Rose. And sometimes that mess extends to marriage. And that's one of the things that you talk about. And sometimes we say, live as brother and sister in certain situations. Why does the church say that? And what does it mean by that?
Well, what a deep and lengthy answer that could be. But today we're going to give it our best shot.
Okay.
So sexual marital intercourse, the marital act, belongs in marriage, and the couples, the spouses, have a right and obligation to be sexually available and loving toward each other. It does not belong in any other relationship. That has long been the teaching right out of the mouth of Jesus. Now, it's just not some man-made rule.
I'm going to just stop you right there, because since about 1923, 100 years now, the world has completely rejected that message. Not completely, but broadly rejected that message. What's up?
I know, and every once in a while you'll see some celebrity who's been burned and crashed and burned so many times, and they will rediscover this truth of it, and they'll cry out in a public way and be silenced immediately. I've seen that over the years.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So sex belongs in marriage, and if your marriage failed and you got a civil divorce, the church still considers you validly married until proven otherwise with a competent tribunal in the annulment process. So to attempt marriage with another person, as much as you love them and feel like you're done with the other marriage, you commit adultery, maybe even a sin.
Who said that?
Well, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, so we're going by the teaching of Jesus.
Not man-made rule.
No,
not man-made rule.
This is what I think sometimes people get mad at us. But these are the words of Jesus.
These are some of the hard sayings,
right,
like you have in your book, Jesus, teacher of strange things.
Yeah.
He said some very difficult things, but it was because he loves us and wants us to go higher. So if you have attempted remarriage civilly without an annulment, you are objectively and clearly in the state of adultery, and you are not to be exchanging sexual relations with somebody who's not your spouse.
Yeah.
That's the simple, short answer. But may I read something I brought today?
Please.
Very short. Okay, so here's a case of a man and woman. They were Catholic. He didn't really understand the teachings of the church, but she was on fire for living higher, and they had remarried, and they went to their bishop, and they decided to live as brother and sister.
Okay.
And she wrote a book about it, about their story. And it was very real and very honest. And here is the one line from that book. It is a difficult life we chose, yet both of us feel truly alive for the first time in years.
Wow.
The book was written in 1960. And it was featured in a Time magazine article about this is a worldwide, article about the Catholic Church's teachings on living as brother and sister. So
right.
This is not new. This has caused problems for people for a long time.
But it's leaving the lips of the Lord, I'm sure it is always connected to liberating people, like to make people live fully alive, not trapped in things that they should not be trapped
in. Right, right. It's just like, you know, it's like a little kid. If all they want to eat is Twinkies, Twinkies morning, Twinkies noon, Twinkies night. Okay, Twinkies are fine. Well, they're not as fine as we thought they were. But that's an inordinate attachment and focus on Twinkies. And we can do the same thing with sex and sexual release. We got to have it. No, we don't.
I know this is a shocking thing to say in the world today. I mean, I think a major culprit here is Sigmund Freud. But the whole kind of modern, therapeutic movement, at a certain point, it said it rejected the idea that you can have self-control and that self-control is actually a very human thing, a thing that humans are quite capable of, and it's good for human beings. They went the other direction.
Right. Well, and this is what children do. You know, they go to their parents. Well, can't we just stay out later? Well, why do we got to do this? It doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. Well, of course, when you are not well-formed and you're not mature and you're not living a life of virtue, adult virtue, you can't see and think that way. And we have a lot of delayed adolescence in our culture. You know, sociologists have made that pretty clear. We have a lot of...
My wife has made that clear, too.
Well, in some cases, it is true. I'm not going to name names or anything. But
she's made that clear.
Yeah. No, we all do that. I have a tendency every once in a while. I got that little girl inside of me, too, that, you know, wants to pout and whine. And
yeah, right.
But I don't let her lead the bus, drive the bus.
Yeah, right. Okay, so if we let the Lord drive the bus, to extend your metaphor, what do we get? What do we get if we let the Lord drive in this situation?
Well, living as brother and sister means that you live without having any appropriate sexual activity or expression, but you can still love each other and be affectionate. I mean, I lived with my brothers I had when I was in my 20s and they were trying to get out of the house. I said, come live with me. I thought I could get them to do all the chores, right? Wrong. But it was a delight to, we went grocery shopping, we did chores, we went on little weekend trips, we worked in the garden, we watched TV together, and we didn't have a sexual attraction for each other, and we didn't indulge that. But it was a good life, and we had a good friendship. So there are many marriages, you know, if anybody listening out here, if you're honest, there are many marriages where sex has stopped a long time ago for a lot of different reasons, and you can still be happy and healthy and holy. So we have to get our perspective back.
Well, I think we have to say this too, because the church has other vocations, and I know religious women who live completely fulfilled, beautiful lives. They're wonderful, charming, intelligent, brilliant women, but they don't need sex. You don't have to have that to have a fully, alive life.
Right, right. No, you don't.
To say nothing of the priests. I think we sometimes don't talk about women religious as much and the wonderful things they do. But this is a great tradition in the church, and it has produced wonders and miracles. And but people just don't believe it anymore. They don't believe you, Rose, when you say sex is not necessary for a fulfilled life.
Okay, let me qualify that, though.
Okay.
If there are people in relationship, in marriages, who have relied on sex as the only way to express their love, their affection, their tenderness, or have some kind of intimacy, because they can't do that in conversation, then they feel horrible that this is, how am I going to express love to this other person? Well, maybe this is a time to develop all those other beautiful ways of expressing love to the other person that are non-sexual. And I know every woman out there, and I'm not blaming men, because we women have our own issues, but we would love that. In fact, the church has always taught there should be an element, and this goes back to Scripture with Tobias and in the book of Tobit. There should be an element of brotherly, sisterly love in every marriage.
Of course, yes, right.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that's, right. We can easily miss that as well.
Right.
So that may even lead to some of the divorce, because when the other fire goes out or isn't doing what it did before, you don't have other things that are
right.
are uniting the spouses.
Right, you haven't developed it.
Yeah. So when did this whole idea of living as brother and sister come about, though?
Well, there, you can do a long study of this. We know in the Catholic Church, we have some writings back as early as the 1700s, and the theologians at the time of St. Alphonsus Liguori tackled this. And then, of course, in the 50s, we have a lot of moral theologians address this again. They did again in the 60s. Of course, the last few popes, John Paul II and Benedict XVI, they had encyclicals that addressed this. It was called the Brother-Sister Solution. Beautiful writings, beautiful, but, you know, how does the average layperson ever read those or know about those? Right. So, and then Pope Francis, God bless him, he is bringing these triggering topics up for discussion, and I think that's good. And we shouldn't jump the gun to say that he's throwing everything out. You know,
no, of course not.
But,
right.
But we do need to talk about it. But since we're all talking about it, let's talk about it like Jesus talked about it.
That's the key, isn't it? The number is 888-318-7884. There are situations in which the Catholic Church calls even those who are in marital situations to live as brother and sister. And we're talking about that today. If you've got a question about that, if you want to chime in, you're very welcome. Rose would love to talk with you. 888-318-7884 is the number. I got to take the break.
Okay, good.
We'll come back with more on this whole Catholic idea of living as brother and sister right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I'm continually amazed and humbled at the way God can work through me to help so many people. Although I have no idea what the caller's questions will be that day, I trust that the Holy Spirit can use my education and experience to guide, challenge, or comfort those who call.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast, Saturday morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Wildly popular Rose Sweet is our guest today on Catholic Answers Live. I know she's wildly popular because we always get notes and things telling us how great she is after she's been here. I don't know if that's family members or people she's paid, but we get a lot of those.
I like the world. I like wildly. I like
wildly
wild,
popular.
Yeah,
I think that you are wildly popular.
Wild Irish Rose.
Oh, look at that. That's you. The number, if you want to get in on the conversation, 888-318-7884. Sometimes we say this phrase and just kind of assume that people will know what we're talking about and what the origins of it are. We say to people, well, this is a situation where you need to live as brother and sister. We say this to couples sometimes. What does all that mean? What is all that about? That's what we're talking about with Rose. So, but let me just ask you this. Why would we do it?
Okay, so as a Catholic, to receive all the graces that God has for us and those personal, intimate encounters with Jesus Christ in the sacrament of confession and Holy Eucharist, no Catholic is allowed to approach our Lord in those sacraments with serious, unconfessed sin. We have to be know our sin, own it, be sorry for it, be willing to get rid of it, to be in, you know, reconciliation with Him. If you're in a second marriage and you don't have an annulment, you're in a situation of adultery. That's a serious sin. So the couple can go to their priest or go to their bishop or whatever and understand that we are not going to live as husband and wife. We will continue to live as brother and sister. And it's a little more complex than that, but you understand why you're doing it. You commit to each other, and then if you're also maybe in a position of causing any scandal, that has to be addressed as well. If people who know about it, it can get complex. But you do that so that you can return to the sacraments. So you can be in a state of grace and receive every single thing that Jesus has for you through the sacramental life.
So someone becomes convinced, or a couple becomes convinced, that, hey, you know, we do have these previous marriages or a previous marriage in our past. We do accept what the church teaches. Do you have any practical help for them in undertaking? What is, I mean, it does seem to me, would be an arduous road for many, many people. I don't think we're saying it's an easy road. We're just saying it's possible.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. Is the Christian life an easy road?
I have not found it so thus far.
No.
But I'm not very good at it. I mean, but yeah, no, it's tough.
No, because we have disordered passions about a lot of things. And,
right,
and that's
right.
Why we need a Savior, and we have one. And that's why we need grace, especially through the sacraments.
Yeah. Okay. So help us through this arduous task.
So, as you know, in this brief time, you do not necessarily, if you're living together, one doesn't need to move out of the house and start a whole new set of financial, you know, obligations. There are, you know, situations maybe where you're still raising young children, or there's, you know, lots of different things. You don't necessarily need to move out. Some people, though, if they're able to, and it's causing them a near occasion of sin, they might need to move out.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, no. But what you do is
It's very expensive to move out, and not everybody has that kind of resources.
And that's why a lot of people are moving in together and not getting married. It's money again. So we got sex, we got money, here we are.
Yeah. Sounds like Vegas.
It does.
Go ahead. Okay, sorry. I apologize.
Go ahead. That was actually pretty funny.
Okay.
Okay, so the first thing you should do is move out of the bed.
Okay.
Move out of the bed.
Yeah.
And I would say move out of the bedroom.
Sure.
Move out of the bedroom.
Okay.
Just avoid, look, if you're trying to lose 100 pounds and you got donuts on your mind all the time, don't go to the donut shop. So remove yourself from temptation.
I hate that example, but I get what you're saying.
I know, because I love donuts too.
Okay.
But move out of the bed and move out of the bedroom.
Okay.
And most people can reorder their homes to find a nice, cozy, safe, wonderful place for both people to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and if somebody tells me, we don't have room, and I'm going, why? Let me come over. I'll find it for you.
Right.
Yeah. I actually have been in this situation. So it is difficult, but when your heart has surrendered to the Lord and you want to please Him more than you want to please yourself, it gets easier. And your vision gets clearer.
Right, right, yeah.
So,
that's important. You're not alone. This is not a thing. This is not an athletic event. There's the Lord there to help you, and all the saints and the sacraments there to help you.
Well, right. And now that I'm saying this, you know, move out of the bed, move out of the, get all this stuff. This is what single people should do anyway, who are dating or, you know.
Ah, yes, right.
Get out of the bed,
right.
Get out of the bedroom, and get off. Don't be cuddling on the sofa late at night after a movie. It's just like, it's an invitation, you know.
You're asking for trouble.
It's,
we used to call this avoiding the near occasion of sin, but I don't think people even know what that means.
Well, we should bring that back because it's what
so many ways. Like, there's a million ways you can avoid the near occasion of sin, and we act like that's some kind of old-fashioned language, but it's super helpful when you think of your life.
It's totally smart.
Yeah.
It's
like if I always gossip with this one person, well, you can avoid that. Be with other people when you're with that person.
Right.
Don't be alone, you know, like.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can still be friends with them.
Sure, yeah.
Right. You don't have to, like, cut everything off and live in a monastery kind of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and appropriately, this is what I put, avoid alcohol. I'm not saying stop drinking alcohol, of course. But, you know, if you're at a restaurant and you have a glass of wine or, you know, a beer or a cocktail, whatever. But when you get home, don't continue drinking because it just makes it more difficult. So, you know, this is self-control, self-mastery.
Right.
And it's not because it's bad and you're following a rigid rule of the church. It's you're choosing to live a higher way. You're choosing to live the fullness of being male and female.
Yes.
So that you can receive everything that God has for you.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Avoid sexy movies and books. You know, what are you watching on TV? You know, what are you watching on your computer? And especially avoid unsupportive friends. I remember when I was trying to be very chaste, I had a girlfriend who loves me dearly, but she has a different moral code than I do. And she's sincerely and sweetly saying, you can have sex. Just go ahead. It's okay. God understands. You love each other. And those are seductive and tempting words.
Right.
And you can't be around those friends. You have to set very healthy boundaries with those and say, no, I cannot do that.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. Do you want to go to calls now?
Let's go to calls.
Okay. Wow. All right. Rose Sweet, ready to go to calls. Let's see. I have to find the calls. They're here somewhere on my document. Let's start with Chris in Ohio, listening on 1060 AM. Chris, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. The question is, you're talking about annulments, and I'm in a family who was divorced, parents had an annulment, and I think I've always struggled with that word, because to me, annulment means something never happened. And when there are children that have come from a marriage, the hard time I have with that is, how can the church say we're going to annul something when children are here now?
Wonderful question.
What am I then in the eyes of the church?
Great, Chris.
Really, really good question. So the church does, in fact, say that nothing happened when it comes to a valid marriage bond. But that did not happen. But what did happen was they had social bonds and loving bonds. And
legal bonds.
And legal bonds and financial bonds. And they had these beautiful parental bonds. And the Catholic Church has always looked at every child as beautiful and wanted and intended by God. And, you know, they're not illegitimate. They're not, you know, anything bad or negative. The church does say in this part of their relationship, there was no valid marriage bond, but there were other meaningful and beautiful bonds. And we're here for you to support you through that grievous time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. I guess that was my question, is I always felt like, does the church look at me as basically a bastard child?
No.
I don't exist. I, you know.
No.
I've always struggled with that.
Well, it's a strange one, because the church's defense of marriage is related to protecting children from these kinds of things. So she has to tell the truth about marriage, but legally your parents were married.
Right. Your parents were married. And remember, being illegitimate is a civil term. So your parents were civilly married and have children. They're not bastards in that sense of the word. And you are precious and loved in the eyes of Mother Church, just as much as Cy Kellett.
I appreciate that. No, and I'm a practicing Catholic. It's just,
praise God.
Like I said, I've always struggled with that, only because I just don't like the wording. You look up the word annulment, and it's basically something didn't exist. It didn't exist. And
right.
I think to myself, well, that just doesn't make sense. Maybe they should change wording. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you asked that. Something didn't exist. But let's not lose the fact that something did not exist from the very beginning. And that was the marriage bond, but not the people, not the children, not the other goods in the relationship.
If I could add, because if the marriage bond existed, the church, no one has any power to dissolve that. Because Christ himself said, if that bond is there, I'm paraphrasing what he said, no one can put it asunder. So that the declaration that lifelong bond was not there doesn't mean that all the rest of the stuff, even the legal marriage, wasn't there.
Right, right. Chris, God bless you.
Let's go to Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hi, Tom. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Thank you. Yeah, Rose, first I want to tell you, you do an extraordinary job.
Oh, she gets enough positive input, Tom. Come on.
Tom, well, keep going, Tom.
All right.
And furthermore, may God bless you, my dear, because you really have hit it right, the truth, the love, and everything. Well, anyway, here's my question.
Thank you, Tom.
In this archdiocese, it was always the practice, and I have no reason to think it's changed, that they will not even entertain annulment questions until the couple has received a civil divorce. Now, it seems to me that they've got things real backwards here. Before they do an annulment proceeding, it seems to me they ought to do some kind of counseling or whatever they can do to preserve the marriage. And then if it's clear that it's, you know, can't do anything for it, well, then they, because you're good on to annulment. And I don't know how widespread this is in the United States, but when we have children involved and the extended family even and all that, what's your feeling about that? Should they have to get a civil divorce before they'll start a normal? What do you think about that? What's your take on that?
Russ?
Well, Tom, thank you so much. It's never what I think. It's what the church teaches. And here's some clarification for you. The reason that they require the civil divorce to be final before they begin the annulment process in the tribunal is to allow the couple enough time and room and space to reconcile and to make sure there's no possible hope of that. So it's actually a loving thing to do for them. You can talk about it. You can talk about annulment and find out about it before you get a civil divorce. And that's what we encourage people to do, is find out, what is it? What can we do? What can't we do? Does that make sense?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll ask Tom if it makes sense when we come back, because we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Are you scared to talk about abortion? Don't worry, almost everyone is. You can overcome this fear, as Trent Horn shows in the newly revised and expanded second edition of Persuasive Pro-Life. With a little knowledge and a few proven techniques, you can become a bold and effective apologist for life. Visit shop.catholic.com to order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life and never again be afraid to speak up. Also available at good Catholic bookstores. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is the beloved Rose Sweet. Tom is in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, and was asking about why would a diocese require people to get a civil divorce before an annulment, and was also suggesting that people do counseling before this, or that the church encourage counseling. So my understanding was you said that is what the church does. It does encourage people to do counseling.
Okay, but in this diocese or that diocese, you may not have people who will tell people, go read this book or go to this class or get counsel. They're processing the paperwork. That's their job, just like anything else. So you might not get the pastoral support that you need in every diocese and every parish.
Okay, so you said to Tom, what do you think of that? And then I had to interrupt because we need to go to the break. Tom, what do you think of what Rose had to say?
Well, I'm still a little uneasy and puzzled. It would seem to me that if people come and say we want an annulment, instead of saying, well, go get a divorce first, they ought to say, go get counseling or go try to save the marriage first. Then if it doesn't work, we proceed with the annulment.
They do say that. If anybody, usually in the average situation, if you go to, you would begin at your parish and you go to your pastor, we hate each other, we want an annulment. And that usually the parish will tell you. well, what's going on? Tell me your story. And they will, you know, try to enter into and help you figure things out the right way. Nobody is saying, oh, you want an annulment? Go get divorced and then we'll take care of it for you. That's a myth.
Tom, thank you very, very much. Appreciate the call. All the lines full now, so on we go. Donald's in Pennsylvania listening on Ave Maria Radio. Donald, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi. Thank you for this interesting discussion.
Hi, Donald.
I appreciate what you said. I've heard this taught years ago. And also years ago, it seemed like this was all under the auspices of the current canon law. So I believe in 1917, there was one canon law, and then later on it was revised. And my impression is that according to current canon law, if a Catholic marries another Catholic and they don't get a dispensation from the bishop, that it's not a valid marriage. Is that so?
I think you meant to say if a Catholic marries a non-Catholic without a dispensation, and I agree, this is what the church teaches, it would make that marriage bond invalid. There would be no valid marriage bond.
And then they wouldn't need an annulment, though, then, right?
Well, no, they would.
Because they never had a bond.
Well, okay, but here's the other thing. The church presumes that anytime two people go, you know, say I do and enter into a marriage, that there is a valid bond that is formed. We're given the benefit of the doubt until we find out there is reason that, you know, support that there was not a valid bond. So even the people who just got married on the beach outside of, you know, or I got married to a Protestant without a dispensation, I still have to go to the tribunal and fill out the paperwork and clear up publicly and privately the situation of my marriage, which is justice and, you know, freeing us to move on. So it's not the long, complex form, but it's this short form. It's called a documentary form.
So they would go and fill this paper out and say, well, they didn't get the permission of the bishop.
Yeah.
And that would be
kind
of like it.
Yeah, it's very short, and you have to provide basic information and where you got married, and you have to show proof that, you know, you're Catholic and that you did not get the dispensation, and all those documents line up, then the paperwork is issued.
And what happens if it's two Catholics do this? It's different?
If two Catholics...
They didn't get the bishop's permission and they got married on the beach or went to one of these... places that have a justice of the peace.
Yes, all Catholics, even if one of them is Catholic, all Catholics are required to marry in the Catholic manner. And that means that they have a priest as a witness, because the priest doesn't really marry them. They exchange consent between themselves,
right.
But the priest witnesses on behalf of the church. And sometimes with permission, you could actually get married on the beach, but, you know, I'm not, hopefully people don't run out and start doing that.
Don't ask.
Yeah, but the basic thing is you get married in the Catholic manner. If two Catholics didn't know any better and ran off and got married in Vegas, they have to regularize that marriage. They just, the same thing, it's very easy. You go to the pastor, you start the discussion, and they will help you with that.
Donald, thank you very, very much. Appreciate the call and the questions. It's 888-3187-884. Rose Sweet is our guest. And as we often do with Rose, we're talking about marriage and what happens when Catholic marriages in particular run into difficulty. Or maybe sometimes people have remarried without a declaration of nullity for the first marriage. And so we've come to the topic of living as brother and sister today. If that's something that you'd like to talk with Rose about, 888-318-7884. Bob is in Houston, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Bob, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Well, thank you very much. Rose, this is an excellent topic.
Thank you, Bob.
And, this is excellent. What I want to say is that what you're suggesting is actually what a lot of couples therapists will suggest. And I'll give you an example. Suppose that a couple gets married and they have sex before marriage, and maybe quite a bit, you know. Well, what that does is that is not conducive to making the emotional connection. They make a physical connection, but is not conducive to making emotional connection. Because what the Catholic Church suggests is conducive for not only the physical, but the emotional connection. And so what will happen after 10, 15 years or so of the husband, you know, all he's thinking about is the physical side of it, but the wife is much more aware of the importance of the emotional connection, and she just gets fed up, and so it causes great problems. And so if they go to a couples therapist, the couples therapist will say, okay, no, you need to make a contract that you're not going to have sex for a year. And some guys, you know, of course, they think this is impossible and all this nonsense. But it's the same thing as if I want to learn how to speak French, the best thing for me to do is to just go live in France for a year, where that's all I can do, you know.
Bob, I'm going to let Rose comment, because I appreciate the comments, but I want to get Rose in here. Thank you.
Well, let me, for anybody listening, when the couple does have sex before marriage or having sex, there is also an emotional connection in the marital act. So it's not just physical. There is emotion on for both of them, but it doesn't allow it to get to the depth. The sex, when you take away sex, if the couple can't get to emotional depth without it, then we have a problem. And I agree, there are a lot of therapists who will say, withdraw for a certain time. And even Scripture says this.
Really?
Yes, to withdraw for a certain time, but not indefinitely, for right reasons. If there's a situation that you're struggling with, if somebody is sick, you don't have to force sex upon them. The husband, when the wife is sick or she just had a baby and he goes, we're doing it tonight, whether you like it or not. No, even the Scripture even
talks.
Well,
he sounds like a lovely fella.
Well, but there's nothing new under the sun in that sense. And thank God our church has always taught about that tenderness, that there will be times where you pull apart, but it is for a time and for a reason.
I got to tell you, I was talking with, and Donald, thank you very much for the call, but with some Catholic couples who are they're like super Catholic, like, and every single couple had a time when they had to be apart, whether together, you know, still in the house or even outside the house sometimes. Every single one of these couples, and we're all in our 50s, I guess, or coming up on 60, and there is marriage has its ups and downs, but sometimes it has its, you need to, some reframing of the marriage by separating from from sex, but also from other kinds of intimacy so that they can get healthy again.
Okay, let's talk turkey here. Every woman would be madly in love with a man if she knew that he could master himself for a higher cause and not make demands of her, and he would want to love her and protect her and be intimate with her emotionally before any of that. That increases trust, it increases appropriate bonding, and it deepens love. This is what every marriage should be based on.
I stopped listening after the word turkey, but what came up? I just was, you just make me so
Missy,
hungry. Donuts
Missy,
and
Missy,
Twinkies,
are you
and
out there listening, Missy?
She's probably not. If you want to talk turkey, she's probably not listening. Oh, no, you're on. She might be listening.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You know what? Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more calls for Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Keep Christ in Christmas this year with holy reminders for those on your gift list. From seasonal ornaments and items for your home to a wide selection of gift-giving ideas, let EWTN Religious Catalog inspire your Christmas shopping. Log on to our website or call toll-free at 1-800-854-6316. Buy Catholic. Shop today at EWTNRC.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Apparently, what we do here is callers call up, they tell Rose how great she is, and then they ask her question. I don't like that.
I'll be back tomorrow. Oh, it's Friday. It's Saturday.
Yeah, come back. Come by tomorrow. Yeah. we'd love to see you here, Rose. Andrea in Portland, Oregon, listening on the great modern day radio. Andrea, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rose. Did I mess up on Andrea?
Hi, dear Rose. Oh, hey.
Hi, Andrea.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Andrea.
Hey, sister. So, my children's father is in love, and they have a good, great life, and she's a great sister mom. Her son is a brother to my son, and I'm so grateful for that. And I feel like God blessed us for that. And when now I'm with mine, because my ex and I realized we were friends, definitely buddies, and we're co-raising these beautiful people whom God made for us. And now I'm with one partner whom we had a honeymoon phase and in love and all that, the sex, hey, Donald. But we, to the point of showing emotional connection again, there's a place where you can play music for one another. You can dance, you can send a song, you can make food, you can do little deeds. You can make fun of one another and be brother and sister in that way without having to leave one another in your mind, without having to leave God, with remembering that Jesus is with you both, God is loving you both, and it doesn't require this grand gesture, that you can be friends.
Andrea, if I could just ask you, when you say grand gesture, are you referring to marriage or to sex?
I'm referring to trying too hard, I suppose.
Okay, Rose.
Honey, are you remarried civilly?
I am not remarried.
Oh, okay.
I have four children. Their dads were both altar boys. They don't like that, but
okay. So the man, you're with now, you're in love, but you're not married, right?
We are not, but we pretty much, you know, there comes a point where you think you are. There's days where it's friendship, and there's days where it's really, you know. You're mine. You're my partner. You're my one. You're my buddy.
Okay. Andrea, there's a difference between a buddy and you're the one. So what I would strongly suggest is that you get some good Catholic counseling to help you sort through this relationship. It sounds like there's a lot of good, but also some problematic areas that you're struggling with. I hear it in your voice, and I've been there myself. Go get some good counseling, and please reach out to me if you need help afterward. Rose@rosesuite.com.
Rose@rosesuite.com. You're going to get a lot of emails now.
Okay.
But Andrea, thank you for the call. Let's go to Frank in Parksburg, West Virginia, listening on. We love West Virginia. It's our favorite state here. Listening on 105.3 FM. Frank, thanks very much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Well, I told the screen it was more or less to make a suggestion.
Okay.
It'd be a program on reasons why a person stays celibate before marriage.
Oh, what a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have any? You have any, like you should, that we should mention?
Well, I was celibate. I chose to be celibate. To me, you know, a marriage, if it's just based on sex, it will not last. It
Amen.
Will not last, and it won't be a good marriage.
Right.
Yep.
It's got to be based on, you know, you care about them, you want happiness for them. And I lost my lover.
Did you lose somebody that you love, Frank? Your wife?
I lost the love of my life.
Oh.
Of 44 years.
Oh,
Frank, I'm sorry.
God bless you. That's a.
She gave me three beautiful children.
Mm,
oh, praise God.
Mm.
You know, Frank, I got to tell you, I think the testimony that you're giving right now about marriage is exactly what people need to hear, that you were faithful before marriage and that strengthened your marriage, and you got 44 years together and three beautiful children, and she wasn't just, your partner in the physical sense. She was your partner in life. And that's the image of marriage right there, Frank.
Our prayers are with you, Frank.
Thank you.
Well, okay. Thank you for your...
God bless you.
Thank you for sharing, Frank. So helpful and beautiful. And we'll pray for both you and your spouse and all three of those children. Thank you, Frank. We don't have much time left. I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
Joanne in Rhode Island. Joanne, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose. No? Did I push the wrong button? Joanne?
Joanne?
All right, we're going to come back to you, Joanne. I have a feeling she might be talking, but we're not getting a good connection. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, we're not going to hang up. Well, I say that, but we're not going to hang up on you on purpose. We'll check the line and see if we can get you on. Mary's in Texas. Mary, thank you very, very much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Okay, thank you so much. My question is a bit of a reframing of a question asked by an earlier caller. He had asked about divorce prior to annulment, and he stated it didn't completely make sense. I am not sure that it does either, and my reason is if you approach a tribunal to request an annulment, they're going to make an investigation about whether the marriage is valid or not, and they might say no, you may not have an annulment because your marriage is valid. And if they reach that decision, you shouldn't divorce because they've reached the decision your marriage is valid and therefore you need to stick it out. So I think if you require a divorce first, it kind of assumes that you're going to get the annulment. Whereas if you're really open to a possible not getting the annulment, then you shouldn't require a divorce first.
Okay. This is a great question. There's lots of layers to it. First of all, the tribunal is not staffed to assess marriages that are in trouble, and that's the role of a good therapist, counselor, or spiritual director. The tribunal is there to process according to the law the marriage case, and the burden is back on you to stay in the marriage, get help. When you've gotten the help or you've made everything, you've done everything that you can do, and it ends up in civil divorce, then you approach the tribunal. And let me clarify this too. The tribunal does not decide if you have a valid marriage or not. Your marriage is already presumed to be valid and with an unbreakable bond until you can prove otherwise to the tribunal. And that's why it's really important when a marriage does get to that point of brokenness and you believe that you have grounds for nullity to get good, experienced, professional help to present your case to the tribunal.
Since it's presumed valid, then the presumption should be that you don't divorce until you can prove it's invalid.
Well, hang on. Okay, let's put an example to that. You should not get divorced, and you should do everything to preserve the marriage, whether you think you have grounds for annulment or not. But there may be cases where, let's say your husband is violent or your wife is violent, and there's a threat of your health and safety and welfare. And the church teaches, and this is in the catechism, that you can file for civil divorce under certain rare circumstances and not be in the state of sin. But that marriage bond is still presumed to be there and valid, and you can't move on to another relationship. Does that make sense?
That part does. But if we follow that line of reasoning, then the annulment process would be restricted to people who have only abusive spouses, whereas there could be people without abuse who are still have grounds for annulment.
Yes, yes.
Yet they don't have the grounds for divorce, right? You see? So the people who are not divorced shouldn't. To approach the tribunal.
Hang on, because the civil, when you say civil divorce, they have a whole separate set of rules and regulations that permit a civil divorce. And some may line up with the Catholic Church, and most of the time it does not. Because right now we have no-fault divorce. So if you're in a difficult situation, A, you need to get help. B, you need to do everything you can. C, you need to learn what the church teaches about marriage and your options in a very difficult marriage. Maybe you can get a civil divorce, maybe you cannot. But the tribunal doesn't get involved in any of that reasoning or that pastoral work. It's the caboose. It's at the very end when all efforts have failed. And if at least one of the parties believes they have enough evidence to support nullity, then they approach the tribunal.
I hate to do this, but I'm going to leave it there because I do have other callers and I still have time to get them on with Rose. But thank you for the call.
It's a complex topic.
And I'm
glad, you know, Mary, I'm really glad that you brought this up because everybody should find out more about it.
Karen is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening on 1380 AM. Karen, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
My name is Karen. I was married in Baton Rouge at a full gospel church. My husband, I thought, was Baptist, and then after 4 years of marriage, I found out that he had been baptized Catholic. And I went to see a priest in South Carolina where my parents were living. He told me that because my husband had been married once before, we would not be able to get an annulment. So I came back to Baton Rouge 2 years later. And a very nice priest here had us fill out paperwork. We submitted it. And because my husband had been baptized and confirmed Catholic, it had made no difference at all what his first marriage was. And we were able to get our marriage blessed in the Catholic Church. And I attribute this to St. Augustus Tolton. Oh. My father was praying to him for seven years.
Well, we're big fans of Father Tolton, and I'm glad you called him a saint. I don't think he's been declared a saint by the church, but that doesn't mean
he's
can't
very saintly.
Colloquially use that. We only have about a minute left, so I want Rose to respond. It does sound like part of what Karen is saying is you get different answers in different dioceses and parishes.
Okay, you do get different answers, and that's an ongoing struggle, and that's why we need a good thing like Catholic.com to find out the truth of what the church really teaches. But your husband's prior marriage needed to be cleared up. So I don't know all the conversations that went on, but apparently this other priest went ahead and cleared up that prior marriage and allowed you to convalidate or, you know, bless, you know, elevate your marriage to that of a sacrament if you're baptized. So sadly, when you go and you don't tell all the facts to somebody and they spend about 15 minutes with you, you might get the wrong answer. This is a really complex topic. It's like going to different lawyers who might take your case or not. So there is one truth that Church teaches about marriage, but not everybody who's involved in the process knows exactly what they're doing. We need to help change that.
Karen, I do have a second to come back to you. So did you want to reply to what Rose said?
I just wanted to thank you for letting me say something.
Well, if you want to come and praise Father Augustus Tolton, you can do that anytime on our air.
So Karen, your question is very valuable, and I'm sure it's helped a lot of people. So thank you for calling in.
What's Deacon Harold's book named? Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Get his book on Father Augustus Tolton, and I'm forgetting the name of the book, but the first African-American priest ordained in the United States, and a hero and a saintly man, and both of them, Deacon Harold and Father Augustus Tolton. But Darren will get me the name of it. We started by talking about living as brother and sister.
And we ended up on annulment.
Yeah, but, you know, it's the same kind of life has a messiness to it, certainly in our relationships. Mm-hmm. And we got to be willing to, I mean, one thing I do think you are a model of, Rose, and I hope other people will model this too, is it's not just to dump shame on people. We all have made messes here and there in our life. The church loves you and wants you to be in a regular relationship with Jesus where you can get all the grace that the church has to give you.
And we are here to help.
Yes, and you are here to get compliments. Everybody, Rose is so wonderful.
She is. I even love her.
All right, Matthew Bunsen coming up. He's less wonderful, but he's awful good. So we'll have him right after this. We'll talk about the church in the news coming up on Catholic Answers Live.